Welcome back to Top Dogs. Get ready for another fur-tastic journey, pun intended, on the Top Dogs podcast, suggested by one of our Supporta Plus members, Justin. In today's episode, we'll dive into the world of fursonas, exploring their creation and significance, along with influence within the furry community. Join us as we uncover the possibilities and share memorable experiences with fursonas. Get cozy, fluff off your ears, and let's embark on a fur-tastic journey with the episode of Top Dogs Podcast, Furmulating Fursonas, Unleashing the Possibilities. I'm Stream Arcadad.
I'm Whiplash Wolf.
I'm Sakura Hanatsuki.
I'm Trick the Sick.
And I'm Colton. I'm serving as the episode moderator today. So let's start off with the story behind the creation of fursonas, what inspired its design, and the characteristics that you have. Let's start off with Sakura, because I like pink.
I mean, yes, I am very, very pink. No, I'd say probably what inspired the design of my fursona is actually over a number of years, I have transitioned between a number of different species, between fox, wicker beast, a whole bunch of other different species. And I eventually came upon the Mama Gen, and I love her design. I love what she looks like. She's a larger creature, you know, and I'm a larger person in real life. People always say that I've got like this motherly aura, and you know, I take care of my friends and my family. The different like designs that I have were actually from my different fursonas, and they all kind of just amalgamated into, you know, the design of the Mama Gen. And, you know, the mama part of Mama Gen fits very well with, you know, who I am as a person and actually what I look like in real life. So that's kind of how, you know, this came to be. Go ahead, Stream.
One of the reason, you know, you've been taking so much good care of us, like we call you our podcast mama.
Absolutely.
The podcast mommy. That's true.
For me, I actually was very out of it on an airplane when I was like 15. I created the Sona with the rainbow arms and a rainbow tail and rainbow hair, and I was like, yes, this is me, and I never looked back. The Deku hair's new for at least this model, because the mapping wasn't proper to do like rainbow hair. You know, I really like it. I might actually change my character to the green hair permanently.
I really enjoyed the green hair a bit and the rainbows, yeah.
It kind of compliments it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how about you, Whiplash?
See, here's the thing is, I've been like the same design for, which is kind of rare in this fandom because everyone switches so often. I've been an Arctic Wolf for about, I think, 12 years at this point. I've had this design. Well, this is the secondary design of my wolf. My first design was very simplistic. It had two markings across the eyes, which I still keep for this one. And it just had a stripe going from the hair all the way down the back to the very tip of the tail. And then the rest of me was white just like I am. I changed the design about 4 years ago. About 3 years ago. I wanted, like, the white and red's fine. Like, the white, this is the reason why I chose an Arctic Wolf, and I just love wolves altogether. But it's kind of weird for me to choose an Arctic Wolf when I live in the hottest state in existence in America.
I was going to say that.
I'm trying to fix that. White and red was just getting kind of like, yeah, it's just two colors. Let me just maybe add a little bit more realism, because most Arctic Wolves are usually gray. I wanted to add some gray to it. And maybe just a little bit of black. So there's black on my avatar, but it's just my paws, my feet paws. And, you know, actually, give me a second. I mean, it's been a minute since I actually looked underneath these arm warmers. Sorry. Okay, yeah, my fingers are actually black, too. I have a little bit of, like, black on me, too. But I wanted to be more, like, realistic with, like, the actual, like, colors of an Arctic wolf. So I'm white and gray mostly now. And I just added just a little bit more of red, like, tribal marking, like, this little chest piece right here. Then I got some right here on my stomach, and then there's some that run down my leg to my foot paws and a beard. Goatee, excuse me.
Yeah, it's a really cute design. And I really like the idea of you getting inspiration from like an actual animal, which segments really nicely into our next question is like, what aspects of your persona hold the most... How'd you first discover the concept of a persona?
Hey, Colton. Hold on. We didn't get him to answer.
Oh my god, right, that's the stream answer. Never mind.
I'm right here.
How do you miss the one who was talking the most earlier?
I know, right?
Like, I thought he talked already.
I thought he talked already. You were like, let's just go.
He's out of my mind. He's out of my mind.
Chaos. Chaos. No more ad bats.
Go ahead, stream.
Anyways. I almost did that mistake again. So the story behind my character is that I wanted to be a German Shepherd at first. The simple reason is both my mother and my father was in the military. My father passed away, so I had another father that took over only a few months later, and I don't remember my original dad, and he was a police officer. So for me, like, German Shepherds and police force and military training is always something I've been, like, constantly around, and I thought that German Shepherds are amazing dogs. They're beautiful, they're smart, they can do everything you want them to do. But the thing is, I knew I was going to make myself a fursuit, and I knew that my first fursuit was not going to be the greatest. So I was looking for an alternative, and I stumbled onto a certain comic called Burning Curiosity. And I was really moved by the character, and I felt really related to what he does for a living and everything. Just like the character, his charm, how he interacted. And I really liked it, and I felt really kind of drawn to that character, to the Arcanines themselves, actually. Not necessarily the character, but just the Arcanine species. But also, Arcanines are the German Shepherds of the police of the Pokemon universe. So it made a lot of sense for me, and I just decided to go head on for it, and I chose the Arcanine. And I've been an Arcanine for 14 years. I am the type of person that I don't like to do what everybody else does. It pushes me away automatically. So I wanted to do something different. Now, the German Shepherds were really interesting to me. They were somewhat popular, not as popular as like foxes or wolves, but still a little bit different. But I wanted to be even further than that, and I felt like Arcanines were just perfect. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a really cool stream. Again, another like animal inspiration, much like Whiplash, which really, again, bleeds into our next question. How did you all first discover the concept of a fursona, and what motivated each of you to create said fursona? We can start with Whiplash.
The first discovery. So here's the thing is, my first like ideal of a kind of like a fursona or like an OC was when I used to be a huge Sonic nerd and people made Sonic OCs. I never made one, so I'm not part of that cringe group over there anymore. But still, that was my first concept of like making your own character design for something that you enjoy. But I, like I said, never made one. But for fursonas, it took me maybe a few more years to actually discover that, like when I was 12. That's when I started, like, noticing, like, people's, like, fursonas and stuff off Rowdy, whenever Rowdy was still, like, a baby. It was, like, what, 2005 it was, like, owned? So that was in 2007, so yeah, it was, like, 2 years old. That was my first ideal of it, but, like, I got my concept and motivation to create one years later whenever I actually started making, like, friends in the community, like, around, like, in person. And we all got together and just, like, we're thinking of things that we actually enjoy, like, when it comes to animals and come to, you know, what we would like them to be, or possibly what the colors they could be. So, I have mine, which is red and white. And then I have a friend that's a white and purple and pink bat. And then I have a black crow, and then a pink fox.
Oh yeah. No, for me, funny enough, I can't remember really when I was introduced to the concept of an OC or an original character. It was either the Warrior Cats fandom or the FNAF fandom that really struck my interest. Back when I was like 12, 13, I had Warrior Cats OCs, and then I had, like, a FNAF OC, and I haven't drawn her in so long, it's so bad, but, you know, that FNAF OC is actually where I got my artist name from, which is funny enough, like, an acronym. I won't spoil the acronym, but it's NOLMA, and if you can figure it out, you're really cool. I really can't remember if it was either Warrior Cats or the FNAF. It might have even been earlier than that. Who? But what about you, Sakura?
See, you guys are all so young. It's like, I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm like, gosh, you know, 12 and 13 and like even younger than that. And I'm just like, I didn't discover the furry fandom until I was, what, 19, 20 years old, when I finally started attending anime conventions. And I ran into furries at those conventions. Once I started getting involved in the fandom, it was probably, god, I had to have been 20, 21, somewhere in there, when I finally discovered the fandom. And I started talking to furries. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, we each have our own individual characters. And, you know, they're who represents us. And it blew my mind that, you know, oh, hey, I could have something that represents me. The fact that, you know, for Sonas, there's something so personal. There's something that, you know, belongs to us. There's something that represents us. And it totally blew up, too, because not only were there, like, you know, fursonas, then there was, like, you know, Poke Sonas, like, you know, like our darling
pony
stream
sonas.
Here.
Yeah, we see.
Yes, I actually do have a pony sona, believe it or not. Once I get involved with the brony fandom, I do have a pony sona.
This character is also a pony sona as well. This was, this had a pony sona phase.
That's funny. My honor is based on my pony sona.
Oh my god!
So,
that's awesome.
It's funny.
And the colors of
Welcome
my Pegasus
to the brony
based on my wolf.
We actually have an episode planned in the future
fun.
For that, actually.
I used to make fun
oh,
of
no.
bronies, and then guess what? Guess what? You see one episode, and you're like, damn, this is good.
Yeah, thank you, Whiplash, exactly. Do you wanna comment on this stream? What motivated you to create personas and, like, how'd you first discover it?
I used to do a lot of cosplay. I was dressed up as Master Chief from Halo 3. I'm going to send pictures to the editors. And I founded a group called Heroes of Hope, where we're a bunch of superheroes, and we would go to public places. We would organize events to gather funds for, like, Make-A-Wish foundations and other stuff like that. And we started having furries join us on the meeting, during the meets. And I was so curious, because I could see their reaction of people towards them was totally different from mine. I would make children cry. I'm like this giant futuristic soldier, while you see this little floof ball just all happy and dancing and stuff. And the kids absolutely love it. The older people as well, it's really funny to see their face light up, the older folks out there. And I was really drawn to that. And I made this guy called Scar. And we started talking, and he explained to me the concept of OCs and fursonas, and I got really curious. I asked him a bunch of questions, and I really wanted to be involved into this, and that's when I came up with the idea of probably doing a German Shepherd, since it represents me the best, because it's a jack of all trade, master of none, and I kind of relate to that a lot, and then eventually it evolved to my Arcanine Sona. So, yeah, it was a fun experience. I will always remember that.
I know, like, as you see at the cast on here, there's, like, very unique characteristics about them. So the next question I want to ask you, what aspects of your persona, like, one of them, only one, two max, hold the most significance to you, and why? I'm looking at you, Daddy. One or two max?
we'll
go
with
Trick first. Go with Trick first. Go ahead, Trick.
You're going to go last again.
Yeah, you are.
My namesake Sona, because I've talked about this Sona a lot, but my namesake Sona, Trick, he has a grumpy pumpkin on his back. And it's my favorite cute little feature about him, because you can't really tell he's Halloween themed unless you look at his back and he has that little grumpy pumpkin. But yeah, that's my favorite feature of my Sona, other than Jinx's rainbows.
Is it because, like, you like Halloween a lot, or, like, is it your favorite?
I love Halloween,
like,
and bats. Bats and Halloween are my two favorite things in the world. Like, they're such a comfort for me. And it was because of Trick that they became such a comfort, because he became such a comfort for me. Stream, what about you? Oh, sorry.
Me and my...
No, Stream is last. Nope, Stream's last. Whiplash raises his hand.
I raised my hand. I just have my hand like this. Ow, whatever. I honestly think the word whiplash is, like, meaningful to me. Now, it's funny because people think of the word whiplash and they think they get it from, you know, me driving cars really quickly, or the cars I own, or some other thing that this one right here only can think about, or possibly whatever else comes to your mind. But to be fair, whiplash did come from a song, but it's not Metallica. Okay, have you ever heard of a game called Thrillville?
No.
No.
Damn, I'm old. Or, wait, no.
No, you're not. You're not old. You just have unique tastes.
It was a good game. It was like, build your own. It's kind of like, what's that tycoon game? The, like, Roller Coaster Tycoon. There
tycoon.
We go. Yes, but had better music. But it was a song called Whiplash, and it went very hard. And for some reason, that always stuck with me. And whenever I actually started creating my persona, I'm like, what is a name that you don't hear often used. Because there's a lot of furries out here that have, like, almost the same name. And it's like, why? And I was like, you know what? Whiplash actually sounds like a very good, like, use of that word. Or that for as a name for my persona. So that's when I used it. But to be fair, over time, whiplash has become, like, a more meaningful word to me. So I use it in lots of scenarios. But the other aspect, too, is the way my character is. Like, honestly, the way my persona is, it's just supposed to be me. Like, there ain't nothing special about my persona. It's just me. I don't try to, like, put it out as something that I'm not. It's just who I am as a person, but a wolf. I mean, you can always do something you want with your persona, but it's just like being myself. It makes it more better, at least in my opinion.
So I will go with the two max, just like Colton said. Two most important things about my persona. First of all, the name Sakura. Being from Japan, everybody knows that the Sakura blossom is the most prominent flower. It's what you think of when you think of Japan, and quite frankly, it has been my favorite flower for, honestly, for as long as I can think. Ever since I was, you know, a much weaker fraction of myself, I've always loved the Sakura Blossom. So getting into the fandom, yes, you know, it's not really a unique name, kind of like, you know, what Whiplash said, but because there are other Sakuras in the fandom, but it fit me so well that, you know, obviously also with the pink, I actually used the Sakura Blossom color palette for everything. So these are actually different shades of the Sakura Blossom itself. So that went into the fursona. The second most important thing about my fursona is the crescent moon. For me, people, you know, they have, like, their religious symbols. Like, some people prefer the cross. Some people have other symbols. For me, it's a very celestial thing that I have. So every one of my fursonas have always had a crescent moon somewhere. And I just decided to plop it on the forehead because, yes, I kind of have a thing for Sailor Moon. But at the same time, you know, it is a placement of that moon. And it means the absolute world to me that I have that. So finish it off with you.
Two things on me. Well, there's a lot of my avatar is pretty much an amalgam of what I am physically or traits that I have versus what I'm into. I absolutely love like bearish characters, dad bods and stuff like that. And I'm kind of working towards having one pretty close. I mean, the chest pattern, the fur pattern you see on my chest is pretty accurate to the real thing. My eye color is accurate to the real thing. But the most distinguishing factor is actually my prosthetic arm. I used to tinker a lot when I was a kid. I love making, building stuff. Arts and craft was easy for me at school, and I was really good at math and physics. And when I was a kid, I used to play a lot with Legos, Kinects, and Meccano, and I used to make claw hands. And what I would do is to test a concept, I would wear a long sleeve shirt, cover my own hand, so I would just use the claw hand and I would use it for the whole day. I made mechanical versions, electronic versions, I made pneumatic versions. I just love tinkering. And currently today, if I would not be a security system technician, I would probably have studied into robotics in the medical industry and make prosthetics. I've always been fascinated by prosthetics, you know, mechanical enhancement for the human body, anything that we make mechanically to replace a organic component, I find that fascinating, the science behind it. So this is kind of an homage to that, you know, my passion, what I used to do when I was a kid, and it's on my left hand because I am left hand dominant. So,
oh
yeah, that's it for me.
Southpaws for the win. Too?
Yeah, Southpaws here. Yes. Very cool. Woo! Very cool. When you have this persona, how does it influence your interactions within the furry community? Like both online, like in VR chat, or offline, like at furry conventions or people you meet at fur meetups and such? Who wants to start off?
Let's start off with
stream.
Yeah,
illustrious stream. Leader stream. Here.
Yeah.
Oh boy. It's honestly, kind of a tough one to answer. My fursona is an extension of myself. Honestly, I love being a goofball. I love making people laugh. If you guys hang out with me in VR chat or everyday life, you know I like to be crazy. And having an avatar or a fursuit allows me to go even beyond and do more crazy stuff. It allows me to vent my stresses, my struggles and everything and just have an absolute blast. But also, I've always been the type of person that is very caring, very nurturing, I've always enjoyed helping people and I want to be a father. So the whole like arc of dad thing, it doesn't have a sexual meaning to me. It's just nurturing, taking care of people. And it's something I'm going to be eventually. I want to be a dad. I want to have my own children, teach them everything that I know and just be there. So when you see me in VR chat or in real life, I wanted to check up on you. Like, how are you doing? I hope you're having a good time. And, you know, I bring sometimes little treats. Last year at FWA, I brought maple candies to give out people. And so, yeah, it's just like my way. I just love meeting people and helping people out. And I don't think that will ever change. I've always been like that since I was this tall. So, yeah, since I was a little growlithe.
I will say this. When it came to online, especially in VR chat, especially with this avatar. To be fair, when I first got this avatar, Regulus's weren't as everywhere as they are now. But for some reason, whenever I started doing like TikToks, and then I started using VR chat as a platform for making videos, there was me and one other creator that were using Regulus's. And for some reason, we both were killing it on TikTok. And like a few months after like us like kind of like exploding on TikTok, just Regulus started to kind of overflow into VR chat. Regulus would just like be almost everywhere pretty much. And I'm assuming like, I'm not saying like it's me or him. I feel like we helped influence people enjoying this avatar and going after them and purchasing them and making them own one, which I feel like that's the case sometimes. There's a few things like that we both did. Like I kind of seen like spiral out of control online, but I won't say what it was. Like, at least, like, when it came for me making videos and seeing what other people started making afterwards. Offline-wise, I mean, I wear my Himbo Hooters outfit. And a lot of people, like, wear them. Like, last year at FWA, there was a Himbo Hooters, like, get-together. Now, I didn't create it. I bought it from another furry online, actually, who created the Himbo Hooters. He's a horse. I can't remember his name on Twitter right now. But, I mean, it explains me. Himbo Hooters explains me. I'm just a dumb wolf that's bulky. That's it. I'm strong and I have nothing. Nothing.
Oh well.
Yeah, and nothing else going for me except for my bulk.
Got it, Trick. You can go next.
It's kind of a 50-50 split of like, oh my god, you're scary in my fursuit, and like, oh my god, you're adorable. Mostly because it's like the blank black eyes, the soulless, like, will stare into your soul eyeballs that Trick has. But, I mean, he's stupid cute. He's on his like fourth version of his fursuit now. I need to make a fifth one, to be honest. with Trick, it's just either, oh my god, you're cute, or oh my god, you're scary, or I've had a couple people with like mixed reactions, especially like little kids get freaked the fuck out sometimes, or they'll call you a rhinoceros, which has happened.
It can be very interesting, honestly.
Oh yeah, children are gremlins,
right?
Yeah.
How about you, Sakura?
I mean, I don't own a fursuit like all the rest of you guys do, unfortunately. I guess, you know, I'll concentrate more on, you know, in VR. Is, you know, the Mamajen being a large creature, you know, having the giant bobs, and like, you know, I'm not as big as Stream here, but at the same time, you know, I'm much larger than, you know, a lot of the avatars that you find here in VR chat. And like I'd mentioned earlier, how people find me to be very motherly, very caring, you know, I protect people that are, you know, whether they're friends or people I call my family. And, you know, a lot of that, you know, you get with the Mamajen, you know, the giant pods, the giant, you know, bulk of the creature, you know, is great for, you know, holding on to somebody, protecting them, you know, giving them the solace that they need. But at the same time, you know, you've got these giant claws, you know, you've got this creature that can be very intimidating. And so it follows a lot of, you know, who I am as a person, because in real life, yeah, I don't really look the part, but it's who I am. It is what I am. And so, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I can feel the vibes coming from you, Sakura. I can't wait to meet you in real life at FWA. It's going to be awesome.
Few more days. It's going to be great. Few more days.
Yeah. Has anyone on, at least on here, ever encountered any misconceptions when talking to people about fursuitness? And how did you address that? We'll just keep it to one or two people.
I haven't had much misconception concerning fursuitness. But the fursuit aspect, though, the number of times I fursuited in public and then an adult pulled me aside and they went up to me and they asked me, like, do you guys actually have, like, naughty times in private with these suits? And I don't know why every single time there's a public event, they ask me, I'm like, how about this? How about you have a little fun with your partner while you're wearing two winter suits at the same time? Would that be comfortable for you? And they're like, no. I'm like, there you go. You got your answer.
There you go.
I keep it short and simple like that.
Yeah, that's true.
See, lie to them like that, because my response to them is always like, you know what, adults are gonna do adult things, suck it up. That's how I respond to people who do that, who come up to me, because I've had that happen a ton of times. Even when I was a minor, that would happen to me. Now my response was different when I was a minor, because I was like, well, that's just not what I do. I'm here for the safe work side. It's uncomfortable,
exactly,
yes, but adults are going to do adult things.
Adults will do adult things, absolutely.
Now, with the misconception of fursonas, I personally have had the experience where people are like, so you think you're a dog, right? And I'm like, no, that's not what it is. I believe that this character represents me in a fictional realm, or in, like, a at least representation of who I am, or an ideal idea of who I am. But that's not who I am physically. I'm a human being. I am a person in a skin suit walking around acting like a dog. No more, no less.
All right, guys, stay updated with the Top Dogs podcast by subscribing to our YouTube channel and ringing that notification bell. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform and hit that follow button to be notified for every new episodes. Share the love by leaving us a quick rating and connect with our community by joining our Discord server and Telegram community chat. You'll find all the necessary links in our link tree down below. We appreciate your support.
Hey, Top Dog fans. If you're looking to snag some awesome perks while supporting us, explore our service subscriptions on Discord or Patreon. By becoming a podcast supporter, you'll access exclusive behind-the-scenes footage, join supporter meetups, express yourself with custom hand-drawn emojis featuring the Top Dog team, and chat with podcast team fellow fans. Plus, we've got new After Dogs show for mature audiences just for $2.99 a month. So, just for a reference, you can definitely hear how this one wants me to be his daddy right here. So, he can hear tell you everything about that in that show. And trust me, it's all uncensored, or you can play the thing from last week, what I said. But, craving more? Upgrade to Podcast Supporter Plus for $5.99 a month. Enjoy episode voting, suggest podcast episodes, and become part of our live audience. Plus, unlock exclusive sneak peeks of upcoming ideas, merch drops, and much more in the future. There's no obligation to join these subscriptions, but your support genuinely makes a huge difference for our team. And to those who have already subscribed, a heartfelt thank you. Sincerely, from the bottom of our hearts, we love y'all.
And if you guys follow us on our socials and our YouTube platforms and stuff, you guys walk up to me and I'll give you head pats because you guys are good boys and gals. Goodbye.
We'll steal all of your potato chips if you don't.
No, I don't do threats. I do rewards if you act well.
I do threats because I enjoy it.
So for our question of the week that we asked our community members, how does your fursona reflect your personality, interests, and aspirations? Sakura answered, "The Momogen is every aspect of who I am. A larger creature with curves and lumps, very strong. A motherly presence who will protect the ones in her life, but also shows compassion and love. A strong demeanor with a soft face. She is everything I am." Justin, the Wolf Fire Dog, a supporter plus for over 1 year. Again, we appreciate your support, Justin. You're amazing. "My wolf dog self is every aspect of me. Very protective and happy and cute and adorable. My sona means everything to me, and without it, I think I would never ever had a fursuit or had any goals in life. He even cures my depression and anxiety." I'm really happy for you, Justin. That's a really cute response. Thank you for your vulnerability and honesty. For Lewis, team member on Top Dogs, "For the many who know me, a wolf wouldn't have been the first thing that popped into their head. An otter, owl, or any other small creature maybe. But I stuck with the wolf because of what that creature represents. They're loyal, strong, intelligent, persistent creatures. The wolf symbolizes several traits and strengths I admire and strive to be what that comes with a lot of wisdom. And also that strong power that wolf has that I hope I can take with me as I take center stage and hope to become a Broadway legend. And from Gungi Art, not really my persona, but I choose a jumping spider as an avatar because I look grumpy and scary in real life, even though I'm actually not violent at all, and because spiders are crafty little things like me. Also, 8 is my favorite number, and spiders have 8 legs. That's really adorable. And thank you for all the community members who answered our question of the week this week. Like, we really do appreciate you, and we really appreciate your insight for every episode. We're actually going to go into, like, the more creative aspect to personas. So can you, for each of us, can you describe the process of how you actually created your persona for someone who may be actually new to the furry community or who has been in the furry community and want to actually start creating the process? Go ahead, Trick.
Okay, so for me, you got to let yourself loose. Just have fun with it, you know? What I like to do is just turn my brain off and just enjoy the creation of the character. For example, like Jinx, like Trick. Jinx was made by turning my brain off and just having fun with colors. And then Trick was made by turning my brain off and creating. Originally, it was a pre-made design that I was like, well, I'm not going to keep him forever. He'll just be a character that I have. And then I fell in love with him. And I was like, this is my baby. This is me. And Trick has just become my whole personality since. So just don't be hard on yourself with character design. Have fun.
For me, you know, when it comes to, you know, designing a fursona or, you know, figuring out what it is, find something that's meaningful to you. You know, like I mentioned before, you know, like, for me, the moon is a religious symbol. It's a celestial symbol for me. When, like, designing my fursona, obviously, you know, again, being, like I'd mentioned earlier, being from Japan, using the Sakura Blossom, you know, color palette to choose the colors of what my fursona was going to be. And I have this thing in real life where I don't, when I'm decorating a room, I hate white wall space. I absolutely hate just dead, bland white space. So, like, I have to post up pictures, I have to put up shelves, I have to make things look really interesting in my room. And that was reflected on my fursona with, like, the different, with the stripes. So I have them on my arms, I have them on my legs, I've got them on the back of the ears. For me, it's filling up dead space. So it's done tastefully. Like, they're not, like, you know, I don't have anything on my back. But, you know, I've also, you know, I've got them on my tail, and I've got a different design on my tail. And I want things to look interesting, whether it be in real life or, you know, on my fursona. It's just filling up the space, doing it tastefully, but also making it to a point where, like, you know, if you hand your ref sheet over to somebody being like, hey, draw my fursona, they're not going to look at it and be like, that's too much.
So, right.
You know, keeping it tasteful.
Honestly, whenever it comes to creating a persona, it was just mainly go after something least animal related, what you enjoy the most. Now, there are people who do hybrids of other creatures, like, was it Wolfskies? Is what Wolfskies? What is Arden? Isn't Arden something different too?
Wolf Husky?
So, okay, Wolfskies, never mind. But you have, like, it's the hybrids. Well, there's multiple different hybrids that exist out there, like fox cats, stuff like that. I just can't think of all of them right now. My idea would be, like, when it comes to persona, like, you could be either, like, let loose, like Drake said, or if you want to be dead serious about it and actually go deep into the mind and to the deep zone of the furry fandom and find something you want to create, or just find something that's, like, an oddity. But just find something that you enjoy. Just find something that you really would like to be in the furry world. Like, how I'm a wolf, Dreams and Arcanine, Sakura is Mamajin. Trick, where are you again?
Trick is a bad dragon, right? Lion hybrid.
See?
Dragon lion. There's a hybrid for ya.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice hybrid one. Very good.
You can be pretty much in the furry fandom, there can be a mixture of a lot of things. Now, the most prominent ones are going to be wolves, foxes, and dogs. Doesn't matter what breed dog, there's a bunch of dogs out here. Mainstream are technically not the rare ones here. Even though you are Arcana, you're still a dog. But you can be what you want to be. There's just a lot of thing, and there's a rarity of other things. So, like, our camera cow back there, we don't see many cows in the fandom. And we actually have two of them on our team, which is surprising. I actually don't see many cows. But you can be what you want to be. You just enjoy what you want to be. That's what I would just say. And whenever it comes to, like, the palette of your character, do, again, something you love. I love red, white, and gray, and black. There we go. All four of them on my character. You what know, about you, Stream?
Two staff that are cows, they're quite amusing to hang out with.
My God.
Not the goddamn puns again. My God, my brain can't take much more. I am on 3 hours of sleep. My brain's going to slide out my ear.
I had a rough night.
I thought you were tired of furry puns. I thought you were tired of furry puns. Wow, really? I'm surprised.
The way I would teach people and guide people into creating their own personas, avatars, or see whatever, is the same way I explain it to people that are not furries, that are wondering what it is. And what I tell people is, when you start, if you would be reincarnated into an animal, which animal or combination of animals would represent you the best? And usually, even people that are not furries, they figure that out fairly quickly. And it's very interesting to see people, like, what they think, and they start comparing themselves, like, immediately. And it's very entertaining to see. And then the following step after that, once you've figured out what you want to be, is you can find online basic outlines of, like, different types of animals and characters that you can color yourself. And have fun with it. You can even take current fursuit pictures or drawings and go into Microsoft Paint or anything and just, like, paint over to give yourself an idea of what you would like to be. Now, you might not have your final design right off the bat. I think, like Trick said, it's good to just, like, let yourself be free, let loose, and just let your creative mind speak. And give yourself a few days. Once you're done, give it a full week. And look back to it and it's like, is there anything I want to add? Do I want to remove stuff? And, you know, sometimes less is more. I've seen design where they have, like, very intricate patterns and everything like that. And first of all, that's going to make it very costly for you if you get any sort of artwork or get a fursuit done. So sometimes the lesser is better. After that, what you can do is you can take your sketches and your drawings and you can find an artist that will do a reference sheet. And from there, you have the basics to have a fursuit, artwork, and an avatar done. I've actually went from fursuit to avatar, and then I love my avatar, and I modified my fursuit to look like my avatar, including the arm. I have the full 3D model printed on my arm, on my fursuit, and I'm pretty proud of that. You want to say something with Blash?
So adding on to his, make sure that, like he said, create your avatar, or create your persona, make sure you love it. Because here's the thing is, if you have to be dead set on that you love this creation you made. Because nothing is cheap whenever you want to get it done. I'm sure, Stream, you've made your suit and everything, right? So,
absolutely.
Yours is probably much more cheaper than mine is. I can tell you right now, I've spent 5 figures on the stuff that I have for my persona.
You see, I would argue that point. You know, being dead set on a persona. I mean, I look at myself who has flip-flopped between probably 10, 15 different species. Don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid to be like, you know, like a year or two down the road being like, you know what? I'm not really feeling this anymore. I want to change my, you know, species. I want to change my design. I want to change my coloring. And it's all about self-discovery. It's about finding something that is going to represent you. And if that takes 10, 15 different species with hundreds of different color combinations, so be it. I mean, I've only had the Momogen probably 2 years now, and I have finally, since 2009, joining the furry fandom at that point, that I have found something that finally represents me. Because I probably have 4 different folders of artwork on my hard drive from 4 different characters, and yes, it was all really expensive getting all of those art pieces, but in the end, it was that journey, that self-discovery, that I allowed myself to change, that I finally found something that fit me. Whiplash?
I'm just saying it's expensive. Everything this fandom is expensive. Unless you do it yourself like Stream did. Otherwise, it's very expensive.
Even it then, it can be expensive doing it yourself.
Yeah, because usually what I end up doing is I have very specific demands and requirement, and sometimes it's really hard for me to explain to artists what I want. So at that point, I find it more simple to do it myself, and the money I can save by doing it myself, I can actually spend on maybe higher quality or more gadgets or accessories. I have a lot of plans for my upcoming fursuit head. I'm currently fixing the one that Jet destroyed a few months ago, and I've actually improved it along the way because now I have access to 3D printers. But my upcoming fursuit head, I want something a little bit more semi-realistic, but I want to add features that I have on VRChat onto the fursuit head, including fire breathing, but in a safe way. That would be something I would love to do. I could not commission an artist to do that. They will never do that. So might as well just do it myself. And I'm going to be learning in the process, which I'm always excited for.
For people who are new to the furry fandom or younger viewers out there first discovering what furry is, or like even older people who don't even know what furry is or are curious about furries, what advice would you give to them when you're considering creating your own persona for the very first time? Go ahead, Trick.
I feel like you need to keep in mind it's okay to scrap something and start over. First off, if you don't like it, that's okay. Don't fiddle with it for hours on end, thinking you're going to have the perfect thing when you just don't like it. And that's okay. What about you, Stream?
My personal experience, I'm just going to add to what you're saying. Me, every time I had to start over, it was always better. So don't take failure as a bad thing. It's a learning opportunity. The best thing you can do is learn from your mistake and improve. This is the reason why I did the Arcanine first and then I wanted to do the German Shepherd. It's because I know I was going to learn a lot through my first fursuit. Ended up sticking. But just generally speaking, every failure will bring you closer to success. And be proud of that. You know, it's a journey.
Like I mentioned before, you know, don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid to allow yourself to explore the fandom, explore different species, explore different colors, you know, find something that really fits who you are. And if, you know, like for me, since 2009, we're in 2024, and if it takes you that long to discover, you know, something that's going to represent you, allow time to, you know, take its course. Allow yourself to... I'm going to end up sounding like a broken record. I'm sorry. And, you know, it was like Stream said, you know, experiment with different species, experiment with different colors, you know, draw it out, talk to an artist, talk to other furries like in the fandom, let them know, hey, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, either A, joining the fandom, or B, hey, I want a different species. You know, whether or not, you know, you've known them for a very long time, you know, maybe help them through it. Be like, you know, hey, what's your favorite color? Do you have any patterns you like? Be there for the people who are just getting into the fandom. And, I mean, you may end up helping them find something that's really life-changing for them. Trick?
I just want to add, with patterns that you like and things like that, mood boards are especially helpful when building a fursona. Go ahead, Stream.
I wanted to add that ask your friends around too. If you're creating something for yourself, you're creating a fursona, an OC, or whatever it is, I tend to have crazy ideas and stuff I want to do, and I kind of need sometimes to, you know, okay, Stream, come back down, you know, get back to our level. You're a bit sky high over there. Ask around for feedback and be open to criticism. Every time I work on a project, every time I've done some major overhauls on this avatar, I ask a few of my friends, what do you guys think? Is this too much? I'm very community driven. I ask a lot of help from the community and friends, like, is this okay? Is this too much? Not enough? Would you add this? Would you remove that? It allowed me to sculpt and create my character that is something that I love and I'm really proud of, and it's not to exaggerate it. It's like it's that perfect middle ground of like a bit of everything what they like as well. So it's fun. It's very rewarding for me. I like it.
You mentioned that, you know, you asked your friends around. You actually asked me at one point, you know, with your, you know, the previous design that you had that you were trying to experiment with before. And I'm like, yeah, the head doesn't really work for you. You need to go back to like that 1.0 model. Because I'm sorry, but that other head was just...
That's funny.
It was so bad. It was so bad. I'm like, Scream, you need to go back to that, you know, the previous version, which is, you know, what you're sporting now, because like, this is what an Arcanine looks like. This is what you look like. You know, I gave you that feedback and then you brought this back. And I mean, you look phenomenal now. So, you know, definitely, really, like, you know, like they're all saying, talk to your friends about feedback, because then, you know, you're going to end up with something freaking awesome.
I mean, what can I add on? They already said everything that I was thinking about. Just do something you love is all you're really saying. Just do something that you love. Like, don't go overboard with it, but if you like it, then do what you want to do. That's what I can say.
In the end, you know, your character is supposed to represent you. You have to be proud of it. You have to feel confident about it. And it's all that matters. You know, we live in a community where everybody's super open-minded. We are a creative, artistic community. So there's no rules of design. You can do whatever you want. As long as you're proud of your work, then that's all that matters.
I know your persona is supposed to, you know, be you. But the thousands of people who have the 2,000-year-old sex goddess from the planet Uba Uba wants to have a word with you.
Oh my gosh.
I'm confused.
The people who make Persona to have like an entire story behind it. The Personas that have like the entire like 1,000-word essay behind it, asking like what the Persona is. Yeah, though.
Yeah, there's some people that have lore behind the Personas. I've seen a few people like that. I don't have the time for this. I hate writing, so I just don't bother.
And with that, thank you everyone for listening to our audio audience out there, as well as viewing for our video audience out there. Thank you for another episode for the Top Dogs Podcast, Formulating Personas, Unleashing the Possibilities. Again, thank you, Justin, Firewolf Doggy, for the episode suggestion. We appreciate you a lot. Happy time zone, everybody. See you on the next one.
Have a good night. Have a good day.
Night-night.
Have a good morning.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.